Without any more, we have our evangelist missionary Hans Zanstra with us.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. There you go.
Hallelujah. Well, did y'all have a good day today? Enjoy your afternoon, lunch, and fellowship. It's so good to be here. I thank you once again for having us, for inviting us. And it's a blessing to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Amen. And I believe God has some things for us tonight as well. I believe that we're going to experience His presence. And I believe He's going to do some things for all of us. Amen. So before I get started, I want to introduce my family to you. So, family, if you would please stand up and turn around so people can see you. Just stand there for a moment and wave, say hello. So, this is my wife, Teresa, and my son, Jonathan. This is our youngest. My daughter, Hope, and this is my son, Solomon. Now, we do have two other boys. You all can sit down if you'd like. We have our oldest son, Sam. He lives in Broken Arrow. And then Andrew is in the Army, and right now he's deployed to South Korea. So we have a quiver full. And that's the, we're done. So praise God. there are grandkids. We do have grandchildren as well. And so, that's fine. We can have as many of them as they want, but no more kids for us. So praise the Lord. we're thankful that the Lord has blessed us with a wonderful family. He's blessed us with such goodness and such mercy and grace in our lives. And I love that Solomon shared tonight about Mark 16 and going into all the world, preaching the gospel. And you know, many times, most of the church has no problem with the first part of that verse, go into all the world and preach the gospel. But you know, sometimes in some churches, they kind of skip over the rest of that. But what does he say? Let's just look at that really quick. It's not really in the message tonight, but I like that he brought that up. So let's just look at it. I could quote it, but it does you good to read it, see what it says. Mark 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Hallelujah. This is the gospel. Amen? I mean, he really wasn't saying preach the gospel and do all these things. I mean, in a way he is, but he's really saying, when you preach the gospel, you should see these things. These signs will follow you. They follow them that believe. So tonight, I want to continue on talking about understanding spiritual things. And I know this morning I just kind of laid a little bit of a foundation. We talked about who God created us to be. We talked a little bit about the fact that you're a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a physical body. And it's important, I believe it's important that we understand that this is, God designed us this way. He designed us as spiritual beings to function and operate in the realm of the spirit. This isn't really supposed to be foreign to us. It is new because We're like in the opposite place that Adam was in. Adam was created and formed and God breathed into him and he started as this spirit being that understood God and understood the things of the spirit and died. We started in spiritual death and now we have to learn the things of the spirit. And so it's a challenge at times. It's things that didn't come natural to us that now are part of our nature because we've been born again. And so many times spiritual things can be a little bit mystified. They can be a little difficult to understand. And one of the reasons that it's difficult to understand them is because we're trying to understand it with our natural carnal mind. And these are things that are only understood by the Spirit. And see, we want to see signs and wonders and miracles, don't we? I think that's what you want, isn't it? We want to see St. Thomas saved. We want to see the presence of God, the glory of God in every service at the prayer center. We want to see the blind. We want the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the lame to walk, the dead to be raised. And these are all things of the Spirit that happen when we connect with the Holy Ghost and we begin to flow with what He has for us in our life. Let's look at the book of John tonight. John chapter 3. And this isn't going to be anything, any deep revelation. Sorry to disappoint you. These are good, but I want to remind you of who you are. I want to remind you of the power that is in you. I want to remind you of what Jesus did the day that you said, "Yes, I will follow you. Yes, you'll be my Lord and Master." I want you to be reminded of what happened to you when you were born again so that we can continue to focus on that, not just on Sunday morning or Sunday night or when we go to church or when we're praying for someone or when we're doing something that we consider spiritual, but every day in our, when we go to the grocery store and maybe you have a job that you go to or whatever it is that your daily routine requires of you, we should be able to focus on the truth that we're spirit and the Holy Spirit can partner with us in every area of our life and desires to partner with us, and we can partner with Him to accomplish everything that needs to be accomplished in our life. Like I said this morning, Jesus walked in the Spirit all the time. You know, I don't know what He was building as a carpenter, but as He was building, working with His hands and building, using the wood, doesn't sound very spiritual, but I believe He was doing that in the Spirit. The Bible tells us anything done in the flesh is sin, and so He had to be walking after that new nature, which was His first nature. That's what, because He was born from God. All right, let's look here. John chapter 3, beginning in verse 3. It says, "Jesus answered and said unto him." Well, let's go ahead and start in verse 1. "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles except that thou doest, except God be with him." Now that's the truth. "And Jesus answered and he said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell from whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Verse 8 in the Amplified, it says, the wind blows breaths where it wills. And though you hear its sound, yet you neither know where it comes from, nor where it is going. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. So see, there are certain things that are difficult to explain. They're difficult to understand at times, because in our natural mind and using natural words, it can be difficult to talk about or to comprehend the things of the Spirit. This was written, or this took place about 2,000 years ago. And I can't imagine that there was much understanding of the wind. We don't have much understanding today of the wind, but today we have maybe if you're a meteorologist, maybe if you're a scientist, maybe, you know, if that's your field of study, you might be able to explain and expound upon where how the wind is formed, and, you know, maybe a little bit about where it started as far as the breeze we're seeing today. You know, like they tell us sometimes in Oklahoma, this wind is coming down from Canada. You know, which it happens sometimes, right? And you have a southerly wind that comes up from the U.S. But really, it didn't start there. No one can really tell you where it started. As far as I know, there hasn't been more wind added to the earth since it was created. And in the day of Jesus, they didn't even know the earth was round, let alone know what the atmosphere might be made of. And so for Jesus to say this, he was telling him that the understanding of the things of the Spirit is so far from the understanding of the things of the natural that it's like trying to know where the wind comes from and where it goes. But you see, the awesome thing is you don't have to understand it with the natural. You don't have to understand it in your carnal mind. We don't have to be able to articulate in our known language what it might mean to follow the Holy Spirit, but we do need to catch what the Holy Spirit is doing on the inside of us so that we can flow with Him and follow Him. So the question is, how do you understand the things of the Spirit if they can't be understood in the natural? How do we understand where the wind came from and where it goes if we can't really explain it? There's another scripture in Ephesians where Paul says that you might know the love of God which surpasses understanding. How do we know something that's beyond understanding? Well, that's why it's so important. First of all, you must be born again. And that's what Jesus told him. He said, look, these things that are born of the flesh are flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So with your natural mind, with your fleshly mind, with your fleshly understanding, you can understand the things of this world. You can understand the things, you can even understand the things that you need to do on a daily basis. But see, God doesn't want you to rely on that fleshly understanding and that fleshly mind for all the things you do in your life. Now, He'll use it, and you're going to have to understand when it's time to do certain things. You're going to have to understand what time you need to get to work tomorrow. You're going to have to understand, you know, when it's time to eat and to do other bodily functions that are necessary. And our flesh does trigger those things. But yet in all things, He's trying to tell Nicodemus here, things are about to change. All the stuff you knew by the flesh, it's time to be born again and to think a different way. We're going to have to follow a new order that comes not from this world. But really, when he said to be born again, he's talking about being born from above. And so he's saying that just like you were born in the natural, just like you were born from your mother's womb and you do things in the natural and you understand things in the natural, there's a day coming, because it wasn't ready yet at this time, but he's saying there's a day coming, you're going to have to be born again. In order for you to even see the kingdom of God, you must be born again, because in your natural eyes, you're not going to see it. With your natural mind, you're not going to understand it. With your natural way of thinking, you're not going to be able to explain it. But when we step into the realms of the Spirit and we allow the Holy Spirit to teach us and really become our teacher, then those things which we could not understand because it was beyond our grasp become a reality on the inside of us, where our carnal mind is superseded and we're able to get it in our spiritual mind and even communicate it to where people can understand. So there has to be a change in the way that we think. There has to be a change in the way that we function in this world if we want to see the fullness of what God has for us. And I believe that every born-again Christian ought to practice walking after the Spirit. And you know, you don't have to do it. It doesn't have to be all these spiritual things, what we call spiritual things. You don't have to, you know, figure out who you're supposed to lay hands on and find the hardest cases and try to get them healed or whatever. But no, what we can do is we can begin to ask the Holy Spirit to lead us in our everyday life. You can ask Him, it might sound silly, but there's times when I was working in the field and I drove everywhere that I had to go. I was a service technician. And so I would install internet in people's homes. And there's times when I would just say, Lord, I want you to help me find this next address. I got a GPS. I can find it. But I said, Lord, I want you to help me find this, because I want to do it by the Spirit. I don't want to just follow the natural man. And sometimes I did okay, sometimes I didn't. But I would say, Lord, you know what I mean? I might just take it to a particular street and then just say, Lord, I want you to show me the house. Or I would say, Lord, what's this job going to be like that I'm going to go to? How is it? Is this going to be a difficult one, or is this going to be an easy one? Is this going to take me a long time, or is it going to be a short time? Is there going to, what kind of obstacles am I going to have to overcome? And when I'd run into something, I would try and say, now many times I would get frustrated and try to then do everything in the natural, but then after a while it comes to prayer, right? And I said, Lord, can you just show me how to do this? And it might take a minute. I might have to just stop what I'm doing for a little bit and wait. But you know, sometimes he'd show me a vision. And again, we can get very mystified in these things of, ooh, we saw a vision. But when I say I saw a vision, it'd be like if I said car. And in your mind, you see your car. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about. You didn't see the word C-A-R. You saw your vehicle, or a vehicle that you recognize. And see, that's just as much the Holy Spirit. That's just as supernatural in your life as raising the dead. The Holy Spirit wants to lead you in every area of your life. And so, like I said, there'll be times when I would see myself doing something. I'm like, oh, that's so simple. You know, I do that and it would work. Or I might see myself doing something and I try to do it and I can't figure out what's wrong. I don't get it right every time. You're not going to get it right every time. But if you never try and you don't practice the things of the Spirit, we're not going to be able to flow and walk with the Spirit. And so when we start exercising and inviting the Holy Spirit into our life in every area, day-to-day things, then we start to get to know Him. Now, I understand, yes, we need to be spending time praying in other tongues, absolutely. But along with that, we've got to partner with Him in our daily walk and invite Him into our life. It may sound silly, but there's times, you know, Lord, do you want me to make a left or a right? And I can't think of hardly any time that I heard him say it. But I just, you know, I still make my own decision. I go the way that I believe is best. But I'm leaving the door open to say, Holy Spirit, if you want me to go another way, I'll do it. And we all have these opportunities in our life where we can start asking Him, which would be better for me today? Read the book of Matthew or read the book of Mark? Especially when we do that, you can't really miss it, you know? It's not gonna hurt you either way. But there'll be that day when He leads you to a scripture that lights up and you're like, wow, that's exactly what I needed at this moment. And you learn that, and it's in those moments that we learn and we go, wow, okay, that was the Holy Ghost. That was the inner witness. That was my spirit man telling me that. And you start to make note of that. And as you do that, then you learn more and more about it. And so then you can start relying upon that more and more and more, because it becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. But if we don't ever give the opportunity over to it, then we're not going to be able to grow in that and understand the things of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Let's look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This is a kind of a long passage, but I think it will do us good to read the whole thing, so I'm going to do that. Y'all don't have any place to be, do you? I'm just teasing. It won't take that long. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 1, it says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not in excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And as I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, when we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that are come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, for which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." Now, when Paul says wisdom of God in a mystery and hidden wisdom, he's not saying that it's a mystery to us or that it's hidden from us, but that this is wisdom that God has known and it had been hidden before Christ had come. And I'll show you that here in a moment. Because the next verse, verse 9, is one of the, you know, a very popular verse that's quoted many, many times. And it sounds wonderful, and it is wonderful. It says, "But as it is written, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." And it sounds poetic, and it sounds wonderful, and we go, wow, look at what God... That's wonderful that God has all these things for us. But if you really just, if you just read that, you would say, well, He's got great things, but I can't see it. I can't hear it. It's not even entered into my heart. And many people live their whole life there. They go, well, you know, God, the Lord works in mysterious ways. And they'll quote a scripture like this, you know. And they'll say, oh, can't you see? I hasn't seen. Look at what God did. Who else could have done that? Isn't that wonderful? And there's times when that happens in our life, and it is wonderful, but they act as if they couldn't have ever known what God was going to do. But what does Paul say in verse 10? He says, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of God save the Spirit, the things of a man save the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural mind receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And again, this is, I believe, this is why much of the body of Christ gets into confusion about spiritual things, because Paul didn't say that it's very, very difficult for you to understand it with your carnal mind. No. He didn't only say it's foolish, but he said neither can he know them. The carnal mind cannot know the things of the Spirit. And if we're not willing to change the way that we think, and if we're not willing to ask to humble ourselves, because that's really the biggest enemy we have when it comes to walking after the Spirit, is our own pride. Our own flesh wants to be in control, and your mind will tell you, I've got an idea, and this is what we need to do. And that's when it's important for us as born-again believers to take our mind captive and say, I'm going to listen to what the Holy Ghost has to say. That's why it's so important that we spend time praying in other tongues. The Bible says, when I speak in an unknown tongue, my spirit man prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. He says, howbeit in the Spirit I speak, he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. Well, I mean, these aren't mysteries to God. He knows from the very beginning all the things that He has for you. But you see, when we spend time praying in other tongues, that's another way that we can yield ourselves over to the things of the Spirit and begin to understand spiritual things. It just like the Bible says, it supersedes, or your natural understanding is unfruitful. The understanding that comes from the flesh, the understanding that you have because you have a brain, doesn't always get what's going on. And really, it doesn't understand the things of the Spirit. So your brain tells you, what are you doing wasting time babbling in this other language, sitting here for hours on end, when there's things to be done? There's a whole world going to hell and you're sitting here praying in other tongues. What's wrong with you? You know, I mean... You know, you got chores that need to be done. You lazy thing. You need to be out there doing them. Well, you weren't doing them anyway. Here you are. It's time for you to schedule time for the Holy Ghost. We gotta say, if you can't tell me today when you're gonna pray tomorrow, you're not gonna pray tomorrow. If you haven't decided and set aside time for God and for the things of the Spirit, then you're not going to walk after the Spirit. It's really that plain. Because the truth is, we're raised our whole life to walk after the things of the flesh. We're bombarded by, in every location we go to, we're bombarded by the world to do things according to their ways. And we have, like I said this morning, everybody has a cell phone. Everybody, you know, we have billboards. We have something playing over the radio. We have the news media. We have YouTube. We have all these things going on all the time, constantly, just constantly screaming for our attention. And the Holy Ghost doesn't do that. He'll just let you go ahead and wander all over the place if you want to. But He's saying, I'm here. All you got to do is come to me. All you got to do is make time for me. I'll set you free. I'll give you peace. I'll settle all the noise that's going on in your life. But you have to decide. I'm not going to blare it all over YouTube. You know, I'll be here. And if you'll come and spend time with me, I'll share my life with you. I'll share my mysteries with you. I'll build you up. I'll take you on a journey. And we can learn to walk after the things of the Spirit. But it's up to us to make that decision. We have to decide which direction do you want to go. I'm not telling you can't watch YouTube. I wouldn't tell you that anyway. But I'm not even saying that it's wrong to have some things in your life that you enjoy for entertainment or whatever. All I'm saying is that along with that, there ought to be some time scheduled for the Holy Spirit. Without it, we're not going to be able to follow after the things of the Spirit. Amen? So I want to share just a couple of testimonies from my own life that hopefully will help you a little bit, help you to realize that the Holy Spirit is there to guide you and to help you in every single situation. And I feel like God, there's something that the Holy Spirit wants to do tonight. I saw it this morning. And I don't know exactly what it's going to look like, but I believe He wants to take this group here and He wants to take you. I feel like He's throwing out a decision, if you will. And I believe that what He wants to do is He wants to get you to step over the line. That's what I heard this morning. I'll just say, all right, Holy Ghost, here we go. You know, this is what I saw today. It was like I saw God come up here. And I don't know how to explain how I saw it, but this is what I saw. It was like the Lord Himself come and just put His finger in the ground and begin to draw a line from one end to the other. He said, it's time to draw a line in the sand. And He said, I'm not waiting for someone else to draw the line, but I'm showing you where it's at. And if you want to, and if you're willing tonight, you can step over the line. But you only do it if you mean that you're not going back. It means that everything that the enemy's taken from you, it means that every attack that the devil has brought, it means that every lie that has run around in your head is over tonight. And you say, I'm not going to listen to it anymore. Maybe in the past it's held me back. Maybe in the past it's caused you to think that maybe you're not in the right place, or maybe this isn't going where God said to go. But tonight the Lord is saying you can step over the line and you can say, no more. I'm not going to allow those torments in my life. I'm not going to allow any other distractions to keep me from the fullness of what God is doing in this place. I don't know how we're going to do it yet, but I believe there's going to be an opportunity. There is an opportunity for you to step over that line, to step into the fullness of what God has and say, no more excuses. And even if you're watching by Skype, this isn't just for Ontario. This is what God is speaking to us tonight. As His children, we can step over the line and say, no more excuses. No longer will I be held back. No longer will I let the devil steal from me. But I'm going forward. I told my wife a couple weeks ago, I said, you know, I realized the devil has stolen from us. And I was thinking back on what happened to us a year ago. We were in Kenya, Africa. And on June the 10th, Doug talked about this morning, but on June the 10th, at 3:00 in the morning, three men walked into our house where we were staying. My wife was with me, Jonathan was with me, my brother-in-law Milo was with me. You all probably know the story. But we were sound asleep. I was sound asleep. I don't know about everybody else, but I was sleeping well. As a matter of fact, here's the thing. We've been in Kenya for about 10 days, and I felt like we were just really settling in. You know, there's a time change. There's a whole bunch of stuff that goes on when you go overseas. And I felt like for the first night, I was like, wow, we're here. It's like we're home. You know, we were really enjoying the place that we were staying. We could cook our own food. We had everything was going wonderful. And that night, 3 o'clock in the morning, these men walk into our room. They jumped over the fence. In Kenya, every property has a fence or a wall or some kind of protection. There's a gate. There's a guard. They jump over the fence, overtook the guard, walked into the house. And we had our doors unlocked. I hate to say that, but it's true. And walked into our room. And it was a horrible event. And yes, things were stolen from us. But in the midst of it, we were able to follow after the Spirit. Because here we were, 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm sound asleep. These men walk into our room and he starts saying, I heard one man saying, keep sleeping or I'll kill you. And I didn't know what was going on. None of that registered to me. I heard what he said, but I didn't know if it's a joke. I don't know what's going on. I try to sit up on the side of the bed and he comes and he hits me over the head with, I don't know what it was. Some object, blood goes everywhere. I'm just like, all of a sudden I'm shocked, you know, I thought, what just happened? And he said it again, keep sleeping or I'll kill you. So I realized somebody's trying to kill me. So I laid down in my bed and I don't know if fear came into me, but I began to realize we're in a very desperate situation. So I thought, well, you know, Dave talks about tongues for the unbeliever. And he said he's spoken, I don't know, 12 different times. He's spoken in another language or 8 different times, whatever it is. And I thought, well, now's as good a time as any. It'd be really good right now. So I started shouting at him in other tongues. It's just keep sleeping or I'll kill you. I thought, oh, that didn't work. You know, so I laid my head back down on the pillow. And they went through our room and took all of our valuables. And then he asked me where my money is. And, of course, I told him that. And he takes that and leaves. Locked us into our room. Good thing we didn't lock the door, but he did. And to where we can't get out of our room. And then he goes into Jonathan's room. Well, Jonathan, fortunately, I don't know. You know, God does things, I believe, to... There's a little grace there. There's a little mercy there. Jonathan was awake, had his light on. I don't know why. It's 3 o'clock in the morning, but they walk into his room and say the same things. But, you know, he didn't have anything to offer. He didn't have a laptop. He didn't have any valuables. And so they didn't bother him and they left. Of course, they locked him in his room too. And somewhere in the mix, they also went into my brother-in-law's room. And while he was just asleep on the bed, they hit him over the head. Didn't ask any questions, just hit him over the head. Now, they I think they said the same thing, keep sleeping or I'll kill you. But they hit him over the head, took his money. And we could hear this commotion out in the hallway. And we're in our bed and I'm laying in a pool of my own blood, wondering what's going to happen. I don't know. I don't know how bad I've hurt. I don't know anything. I just know that we're in a bad situation. And I heard all this commotion and finally it got silent. And in that moment, my blood-soaked pillow, the Holy Ghost come upon me. And it emboldened me. And I began to prophesy in my situation. And the Holy Ghost said, he says, you will not die in this place. This is not the end. But you will go on and you will preach with power. And you will see my power because I am with you. And I'm going to tell you, at that moment, there wasn't anything else to hold on to. There wasn't a scripture that I had in my mind. There wasn't a Bible training that I could go back to. But there was something on the inside that I could rely on in that moment. And I know, yeah, there's plenty of times when it didn't happen that way. But thank God that time He was there. And we were able to grab a hold of that, and it brought a peace and a settlement to our situation, to where my wife, who's been through horrible, stressful things in her life, she's been married before, she's had abusive things happen, she's been through other robberies, other terrible things, and at times it has been like she went through a nervous breakdown, but that day there was a peace that settled her. And to the point that people were saying to her, you know, oh, this can't be real. What do you mean you're at peace? And she says, I don't know. I'm at peace. Oh, you need counseling and you need help. And you need... No, she's like, I have a peace. And where did that come from? Didn't come from her natural mind. What I'm trying to get across to you is in her natural understanding. At that moment, the only thing my flesh wanted to do was go home. Only thing my flesh wanted to do was get healed, get better, get away from this situation, get out of here. But from my spirit, there came a truth that superseded every natural experience we were having, and everything that was put into the atmosphere was broken, and we could stand afresh and anew on a peace that passes all understanding. Things that I couldn't explain. I couldn't stand up and explain to you why I'm at peace at this moment. That's because of Him. Because I learned how to rely on the one who's within me and rely on the spirit that He's given me. And you know, I mean, we went from there. That if they would have let me, I was ready to preach that night, but we had, it's not that they didn't let me. It's just we ended up at the hospital and doing everything else throughout the whole day. But the next day I was out preaching, put my hat on, put my bandage on, go out and preach the gospel. You can't let a couple of thugs keep you from doing what God said to do. You can't allow a circumstance, and I'm not trying to belittle that or say that it wasn't a big deal, but what I'm saying is that every one of us is going to face some difficult things in our life. And what's going to happen in your darkest hour? For me, that's pretty much been the darkest hour, especially in ministry that I know of. And what's going to happen in your darkest hour? Are you ready to rely on that which is in you, or are the circumstances going to overtake you? And again, this isn't a message of condemnation. What I want to encourage you is that there's a place. Pastor Dave used to say you could hang between Olga and Uga. They could be beating you and you can be at peace, knowing a place that even supersedes the pain of it because you know Him. And somehow John was boiled in oil and lived. And somehow there was something in him that overcame that. Somehow Paul was stoned and left for dead and got up and preached to the same people that destroyed him because of what was in him. And there's not anything different in you than was in them. There's nothing different in you that's in me. It's the same Holy Ghost. Yeah, you have your own human spirit, but you've been filled with the same Holy Spirit I got filled with. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, if you were to ask my family, please don't. But if you were to ask my wife and my kids, there's been plenty of opportunities where I didn't necessarily yield to the human spirit. There have been difficulties where there have been some fleshly encounters we had, some manifestations of the flesh in our home. But that doesn't negate the fact that there is a place within me that I can rely on even in those situations. I manifested the flesh because I chose to. Not because I had to. Not because that's who I am. Oh, well, you know, I just got a temper. That's the way it is. I've always had a temper. No? No, you haven't. Maybe you did, but the day you were born again, that was taken care of because there's in you now. Now, it may not have been taken care of, but there was a new nature put in you that you can rely on. And it can be taken care of. You can say, well, no, instead of relying on, like he told Nicodemus, that's what's born of flesh is flesh. And you can rely on that and say, well, you know, my daddy was mean, my granddaddy was mean, my great-granddaddy was mean. We're just all mean. No, but maybe they were. But see, you had a change. And you can say it stops with me. You said, no longer am I going to allow these generational things that have happened in my life, these distractions that the enemy has brought, the whatever you want to call it, it's really just flesh that you've allowed in your life and in your family for all this time. But the truth is, the day you're born again, you can say it stops. There's a commercial that on TV, you know, at least in Oklahoma, you know, they have these, they want people to quit smoking. And they'll say, you know, smoking stops with me. And you know, you can say that about whatever it is that has been a problem in your life, in your family. I don't care if it's a physical thing, a mental thing, an emotional thing. You can say, it stops with me. Because you see, the blood is enough. It may have been in your blood. You know, it was passed down from your granddaddy or whoever. But you've had a blood transfusion. You've been changed. Your bloodline has been interrupted. And it has stopped. And now we can flow with the new blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can say, today it stops with me. Today I'm not going to get angry any longer. You know, I realize people have, oh, my rasata la bokushichila. I know that there's times that people say these things, right? I don't know why God chooses little things like this when it seems like some people might see it as insignificant. But I heard him say this morning, he said, this isn't just another meeting. And I believe that this isn't just another meeting. I don't think that we're just going through the motions one more time. It's not like the guy that, you know, took the cigarettes, crumbled them up, throw them in the trash can, and just go out and buy another pack. But I'm talking about a real transformation. And I understand transformation is a process, but it begins with a decision that says it stops here. No longer am I going to confess these things in my life. No longer am I going to allow these lies to live in my life. And it begins there. I understand it might be a battle every day. It might be a battle every second of every minute. But as long as you're fighting, brother, you got it. As long as you're alive and you can breathe and you can speak, and as long as you can go back to that moment and say, no, I made a decision and I'm not going back. You can say that on June the 4th, at whatever time we do this, that I decided I'm not going back. I'm stepping over the line. Because you know what? We all know that the enemy is stupid and hard-headed, and he's going to come at you again and again. But it doesn't matter how many times he comes at you. We have to be willing to say, no, I made the decision already. Now, I'm not making it tomorrow. I'm not making it again today. I'm just reinforcing that which I already decided, and I'm not going to go down that path with you, devil. I'm not going down that path with you, carnal mind. I'm not going down that path with you, whatever it is that's bringing you that way. And you say, I'm going to walk after the Spirit. So even though I was telling the story about what happened in Africa, and even though we overcame that, right, by the Spirit. You know, there were still difficulties that we had to walk through. Now, I look back at it and I go, you know, I was just emboldened to preach the gospel. And I continue on preaching the gospel, and I did. But you know, my wife, she went to Africa for a reason. My son Jonathan went to Africa for a reason. God had a purpose for them. God was doing something in Jonathan. And you know, some of those things were stolen from us. Because for the rest of that trip, most of the time my wife had to stay and take care of Milo. It's not Milo's fault. I'm not angry at anybody. And it's not what she did was no less important than what we were doing. I'm not saying that, but it still was something that was taking away from the fullness of what God wanted to do there. God, see, God's establishing a work in Kenya. He's establishing a work through our ministry, and we were beginning to see momentum. And I'll tell you, awesome things happened. We had that night they stole about $18,000 from our account, in cash that we had on hand. About $1,800. $1,800 that we had on hand. I wouldn't be in Kenya with $18,000. Anyway, what was amazing is the next day a friend of mine called me, or he sent me a text. He said, "Hans, we heard what happened. The elders are praying right now. By the end of the day, we're replacing whatever they took." And one person replaced everything that they took. And then things began to happen. Every day, we're getting text messages. We're getting Facebook messages where people are sharing our story. And every single day, you know, we're getting message after message after message that says, "We just sent you $500. We just sent you $50. We just sent you $25. We just sent you $10. Well, I had a lady contact me. I haven't seen her in 30 years. I went to high school with her. All I know about her is her name. And she not only sent money to us, but then sent me a message. I don't even know if she's born again. I know that she sends me a message, says, "Hans, I want to make sure you got it. Is there another way I can get it in your hand to be sure that you can continue the mission of what you're doing?" And God just continued to bless us over and over, and we were able to accomplish more than what we had even planned to do while we were there. That doesn't give any credit to the things that happen. God doesn't need somebody to hit you over the head in order to provide for you. He don't need you to go through some darkness so that you can look up and see the light brighter. He's not looking to knock you down so that you can get up. That isn't what God does. I mean, I don't know if you had a good father in the natural or not, but if that's what your daddy did, he wasn't good. That's not the way a father takes care of his children. So when somebody tells you that, "Well, you know, you're going through, it's always darkest before the dawn, brother." Well, okay. You know, what hope is there in that? But the truth is that no matter how dark it is, you already have light on the inside of you. It might be difficult to hear that. I get it. You're hurting. You need somebody to love you. But you also need somebody to say, "Come on. You've got this. The Holy Ghost is with you. He's on the inside of you. Stand up. Go on with what's in you. Do what God's called you to do." You need good friends, not those that are just have pity on you. You want somebody that's going to come along next to you, put their arm around you and say, "I got the same Holy Ghost in me. If you're having trouble, brother, let me walk with you for a mile. Let me put my arm underneath you for a minute. Come on, but don't sit down. Don't stop. I understand you might have to limp a little bit. Maybe you need a cane to get by for now, but don't sit down. Keep going. Keep going." And you know, the crazy thing that happened that day, June the 10th, and I remember I was giving this testimony on a YouTube video, and Brother Gary Carpenter, he calls me and he said, "Do you know that June the 10th is the same day that they posted the signs at the prayer center that said, 'No trespassing'? It's closed." He said, "It's almost like somebody saying, 'Closed for business. You're not going any further.'" But you see, if you give the devil a chance, he'll always overplay his hand. I'm not excited about that. I'm not worried about that. All I'm saying is that the enemy has come, and what happened is over this past, I'll tell you the truth, this is the first time I've been in the pulpit for almost a year. Because after that, I mean, I've been preaching at the prayer center. I was preaching almost every week because there's other things that were going on, and then I was in the rotation and I preach at different times. And so that's my home church. I mean, you know, that's what we did. And I come home and there's no church. You know, so I did get the opportunity to share with some other churches and my friends, and I preached it about, I think, two times, and then maybe one other time at another friend's house, friend's church a little bit later. And that's all wonderful, but I mean, that was it. And I told my wife, I said, you know, I realized after all this time, I mean, don't get me wrong, some of it is healing, some of it is a process, and yes, we do have to go through seasons with God. We do have seasons in our life, and you know, when the Bible says be instant in season and out of season, all he's really saying is you're going to have some times when you're not in season. You know, there's going to be some times when it seems like there's nothing going on, but you got to be ready anyway. Be instant anyway. There's going to be times when you look at a fruit tree, there's times when there's no doubt it's in season. If you've ever been to an apple orchard, there's times when those apples are just hanging off of the branches, almost touching the ground. And you're like, wow, that's in season. But you see the same tree in the wintertime and there's not even a leaf on it. And see, in our life, there's different cycles and different seasons that we go through, but we need to be ready and we need to be instant. And I realize that this, not so much the situation of being robbed and all of that, but just there were a whole list of things that happened during that time where my life was pretty much turned upside down. Some things, I had changed some things on my job. Now I found another church. All the things that were important to me in my life, it was like they're being taken away. So we had to make a decision. Say, are we gonna let the enemy keep telling us about, for example, we made a decision in, I don't know, 2020 or so. Every year we're gonna go to Kenya. One of us in our family is gonna go to Kenya and tell, or at least to Africa somewhere, because that's what we're called to do, is to go to Africa. We're called to all the nations of Africa. And we sat down and we said, all right, here's the thing. We may not be in Africa right now. We live in Tulsa, Oklahoma. There's a lot of things that have to happen. But what we can do is we can make it there every year until the time is we're either more there than we are here, or we're there full time, or however the Lord works that out, we can continue working on our projects. And we did that all the way up until last year. And this happened, and it's not the event, but it is what the enemy began to do in our life. And I realized that he came that day trying to say, you're closed. You know, no more is this going to happen in your life. No longer are you going to see God do these things for you in your life. No longer is God... It wasn't so much that I thought God wasn't going to provide for me, but I'll just tell you, everything, when we got home, everything dried up. You know, we had awesome times there. The Holy Ghost moved. We received all kinds of offerings and all of that. But within a couple of months, we weren't getting offerings anymore. We didn't have what we needed. Then within a few months after that, because of some decisions that I made, a lot of my own fault, whatever, doesn't matter, we find ourselves in debt, which we were debt free. And here it is a year later, time to go to Africa. And I'm like, yeah, we got all these debts. We got these things going on. I don't think we're going to make it this year. But here's the crazy thing about that. When I said that, there was a peace. Now hear me. I'm not talking about that kind of peace. See, when your natural mind is in control and you just say, well, I'll just yield to it, there's a peace that comes. And you go, oh, yeah, that'll be so much easier. That'll be so much better. We just won't go. That'll be so much better. And then you convince yourself, oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you for that peace. But you know, sometimes the thing is, like what I'm talking about tonight, there's a trap that the enemy lies. He wants to get you to walk after the things of the natural. He wants you to follow after the things of your flesh. And it's so enticing and so easy and so comfortable to slip into that, that it can even become a false peace in your life that you go, wow, man, why was I so worried about that anyway? And you shouldn't be worried about it. And that's part of the problem, is we get all worked up in the natural over the things that God is telling us, and really we're just supposed to rest and let Him do it. Rest and trust in Him. So I'm saying all of these things tonight to say that we have an opportunity to quit and to quench the things of the enemy and quit listening and quit allowing it in our life. I haven't even said this. I've only discussed, I've only really thought it. I haven't even discussed it with my wife, but I'll tell you anyway, because there's an accountability that we have to one another. And as I've been praying, I didn't really think I was going to go. I had, too many other obligations, blah, 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 blah. The Holy Spirit started to stir in me again. And it's past the time that we would normally go, is what I was thinking. And the Lord started stirring in me, and it was almost like He's saying, what are you going to do about Kenya? So I don't know, I wasn't going to do anything about Kenya, but He began to stir in me, and this is how the Lord deals with me. He may deal with you differently. But a lot of times He'll just drop something in my thought, and really it's in my spirit. It's a thought that came from my spirit. And it was like, I just heard this October. I said, Lord, I've never gone to Kenya in October. I've never gone to Africa in October. I think it's hot in October. I'm not sure. But I know we usually go in June and July because it's nice over there at that time. But what I did is I said, okay, Lord, you're right. I did say that I would go every year. I did say that we would do this, and so forgive me. And I began to change the way I was thinking, and then it became stronger in my spirit, October. And I was at a church meeting, and we're worshiping the Lord. And the Holy Ghost just says, you're going to Kenya in October. And so, see, then when He says things like that, what are you going to say? He didn't say, would you like to go in October? What's your schedule look like for October? Well, how do you feel about October? See, He doesn't usually do that. There's times that He might, but there's also, there's a time when the Holy Spirit knows how to take you gently from where you are. It's okay if you've had these problems in your life. It's okay if your flesh has had some control in certain areas, as long as you're going to yield over to the Holy Spirit and let Him help you. I know we all have desires, right? We all have things that we want in the natural, and oftentimes our fleshly tendencies can get involved with that and becomes something, a greater desire, and we can follow after that, not on purpose. We're not like purposely setting out to sin, but we're yielding over to the flesh instead of the Spirit. And if that's happened in your life, the Holy Spirit's here to help you. It's just, that's part of that decision of saying no more. Not going to go that way. So I don't know how I'm going to go to Kenya in October, but I know this. Whether I go or I don't go, I'll say it that way. Whether I go or I don't go, I'm going to follow the Holy Ghost. And I'm not going to try to figure out how to get there. I'm not going to try to figure out how to pay for it. I'm not going to try to stumble around and all of those things. But I know that if I yield myself over to Him, He has a strategy. He has a strategy. There was one time when I went to Africa, and the Lord gave me a dream. And in the dream, every day I was putting a picture up of a time that I'd been in Africa. I thought, well, I can do that. And I started doing that. And just in doing that, we received enough money to go and take our trip. I didn't ask anybody for anything. People start asking questions because they're like, are you in Africa? No, I put on there, this was 10 years ago or this was this or whatever, but it didn't matter. They would, oh, you're in Africa. No, not in Africa, but we are getting ready to go. And And the Lord provided. And see, he has, now, but you know what? The next time we went, he didn't do it that way. I mean, that's not the way that he led us. Now, we could have done the same thing again. Said, oh, hey, it worked last time. Let's do that. But see, that's the trap of the enemy. He wants to get, it's really, how do I say that, Lord? It's your flesh likes to understand what's happening and know where it's going. And so the enemy uses that as a handle to try to direct you and say, okay, hey, look, it's like he's got a little steering wheel on your back because that's what you did before. All right, let's just go over here and do this again. You know, that worked really good. But yet that's not what the Lord is saying. The Lord is giving other direction. He might tell you to do the same thing. He might tell you, well, I mean, it'd be great if he'd just say, just do this every time. That'd be awesome. But you know, he hasn't done that. Some people, he does do that. Brother Hagin talked about certain things that the Lord had him do, and he did it in every service. And there's things that he'll have you do that way. But I want you to understand tonight. Spiritual things are discerned by the Spirit. And so the Lord wants to help you. He doesn't want you to be mystified. He doesn't want you to be confused. He wants you to understand. But the understanding comes from a place in the Spirit rather than a place in the natural. So I'm trying to hear the way he wants to do this. But tonight, the Holy Spirit wants to offer an opportunity. And I believe this is an opportunity for each and every one of us. This isn't like an altar call where some people could answer and some people not. But this is really an opportunity for all of us. And I believe he wants us to do it as a family. Not just, a prayer line or something like that. But as a family, he's given us this opportunity. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Holy Spirit, show us how you want to do this tonight. I trust you, Holy Ghost. Alright, yes sir. Hallelujah. I would like everyone to close their eyes for a moment. I don't want you to be looking around the room. I don't want you to be looking at your watch or anything else, but allow your thoughts to go to that place on the inside of you where the Holy Spirit speaks to you. If you don't know what that is, if you speak with tongues, that's the Holy Ghost speaking. So think about that place where he speaks. And just for a minute, just like kind of like what we did this morning, but this is a little more specific. Let's ask the Holy Spirit in your own heart. Ask him to show you anything that you need to let go of. That you need to say, maybe it's a thought process that continues to come up. Maybe it's some kind of, could be something that's happened in your past. Could just be the way that you do certain things and you realize that it's things of the flesh. And we're just going to take a moment, not very long, just to ask him, Holy Spirit, show us. Show me those things, Lord, that I need to let go of. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, Lord, hallelujah. Mamba baba banda la boto kwanda. Yeah. Maria Satanda. Di 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 asatro kuasha jana badi astela. Hallelujah. I just hear the scripture that says, I've not yet attained but this one thing, letting go of those things that are behind. I press on towards the mark, the high calling of Christ Jesus. So just tonight, just as a analogy and just as a tool for just a moment, I want you to try this. With your right hand, I want you to reach out and make a fist like you're grabbing onto something. With your right hand, you're holding on to the past. Okay? And then take your left hand and make a fist and say, with your left hand, you're holding on to the present. And now, try to reach for the future. It's not possible. And so tonight, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we're going to let go of the things of the past. Maybe there's been something stolen from you. Maybe someone hurt you. Maybe there's something in your life that should have turned out differently. And it's been hard. But the Lord is saying tonight, you can let go of that. And maybe even right now, you're going through some things that are difficult. And the present doesn't look all that hot. But he says that you can let go of that. And we'll cast our cares upon him. We draw a line in the sand this night. We say we're stepping over. So I'd like everybody to stand on your feet. Hallelujah. Onda la baranda la bozonda la bassata. Onda rianda la bassata la bassata. Onda la bazanda la bozanda la yassata. So you remember we had a hold of these things. When we were holding our fists out in front of us, just hold your fists for a moment. And what I'm going to do, what I'm going to do is I'm going to count to three. And when I do, I want you to just lift your hands up to him. I want you to let go of your fists and open hand, lifting your arms up to him, surrendering it all to him. And we just call out to Jesus. So I'm going to say three and we're going to shout Jesus. And we're just going to, for a moment, we're going to worship him and thank him that this night marks something in our lives. That on June the 4th, 2023 at 8:47 p.m. Is that right? No, 7:47. Okay, good. At 7:47 p.m. we declare we stepped over the line. And I want you to mean it. Don't do it if you don't mean it. Because what's going to happen is the enemy's going to come to you. Maybe before you walk out the door tonight. And he's going to try to remind you of all the things that have held you back. And you're going to have to be able to say, no, at 7:47, or if you want to call it 8 o'clock, whatever, I made a decision. I stepped over the line. I'm no longer going back. Y'all ready to let go? You ready to worship God? All right, here we go. One, two, three. Jesus! Hallelujah! We worship you, Lord. Thank you that we're free, Father. Thank you that you've taken us over the line tonight, Lord God. Hallelujah, Jesus. We make a decision. We stand together as a family, Lord, we say. No more. The devil's not going to steal anything from me anymore. My flesh has no control over me anymore. I'm walking in your fullness, Lord God. I will by the Spirit put to death the things of the deeds of the body, and I will live I will live for you. The life of the Spirit flows through me. Hallelujah. Never the same. Never the same. Never the same. Never the same. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you believe it tonight? That no longer do you have to walk the same way you walked before you got here today. Even if it was good, you can walk better. even if it was great, there still is that better. Hallelujah. You say, well, everything was good. It's good in my life, brother. Well, it's getting better. It's getting better. Hallelujah. We're walking in His fullness, in His peace, in His prosperity, in His grace, in all the miracles that He has for us. Amen. St. Thomas will never be the same. St. Thomas will never be the same. And wherever you are that you're watching tonight, it'll never be, your life will never be the same. Hallelujah. Kenya will never be the same. Tulsa will never be the same. And wherever you tread your feet, it's never going to be the same. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me just look at you for a minute. Hallelujah. Well, I want to say that my friends in Kenya, I know you don't know them. Some of you, Doug knows a couple of them maybe. But I told them I was coming up here to Canada, and they said to share their love with you and to let you know that the church in Kenya is praying for you. They're praying for you. Hallelujah. They said share our love. Because you know, wherever I go, there's people always telling me, we're praying for you, brother. And all the things that we need, obviously, there's resources that we need. But the most precious thing that anyone can offer is their time with the Father and say, listen, I'm joining with you. We're going to believe God together that it's going to be all right. We're going to make it through this. We're going to make it past this. And we're going to walk in His fullness. Amen. So once again, thank you for having me. Thank you for allowing me to share my heart with you tonight. And I hope that you are blessed. I hope that it helped you. And that I believe, I'm standing with you. So, I mean, if Doug calls me with a problem, I'm going to say, brother, I'm June the 4th at 7:48. We gave it over to the Lord. Hallelujah. And I hope He'll do the same thing for me. He'll say, listen, that's not your problem any longer. We need friends like that. We need brothers like that. We need to be those kind of brothers and sisters to one another. So we hold one another accountable in love and strengthen one another in love. So once again, God bless you. Thank you. I'm going to turn it back over to Pastor Doug. Does anybody have anything they wanted to say or share tonight? Hope or Jonathan? Okay, just making sure. So so thank you again, Brother Doug. It's yours. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Well, glory to God. I hope you got something from that tonight. Amen. Did you see that? How we need to be aware of our spirit. I think I've been saying that a few times here lately. Hallelujah. We've been looking at it ourselves, right? Stepping in and realizing there's a grace to help. Hallelujah. We stepped over. How many let go of something tonight? How many let go of where you are right now even? Amen. Even if it was something good. You know, sometimes we got to let go of good things to receive God's best. Amen. Hallelujah. And trust Him. Amen. And we're going to step over. How many are going to pray tomorrow? What time are you going to pray tomorrow? Oh, 7 p.m., right? For sure. At least it's 7 p.m., right? We know that. Right here as a church, we're going to be praying at 7 p.m. Amen. If you want to come, that'd be great. Bring your supply. Hallelujah. We all have that supply that we can bring.